Yep. Do we have any prayer requests? That's why we take communion every Sunday. Yep. Father, we thank you for taking care of us, and we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the healing that comes through your Son, faith in his work on that cross. When we pull on the body and the blood, we thank you for your word, and we praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. One of the hardest things for Word of Faith Christians to do is to walk in faith. And it's because they get preoccupied with their own faith. What happens is there's a faction that of people that say it's all faith, and there's a faction that says it's all grace. But it's a culmination of that. Remember, the Bible says that we're saved by faith, that it might be by grace that it might be by faith. One of the best illustrations I can think of is a woman, you know, the woman that was humped over with the spirit of infirmity. She walked around, and I always thought when I had read that story that Jesus was up there at the podium preaching, and all of a sudden this old woman just come walking by, and he just reached out there and laid hands on her and cast that spirit of infirmity off of her, and she was healed. One thing about when you're reading the Bible, it helps to understand a little bit about the culture, the times, understand a little bit about the geography, understand just a little bit about their traditions. Now, women in Israel in Jesus' day didn't have the same standing that women have now. For one, this lower level here where the seats that were close to where Jesus was, that was filled with men. The women had an upper balcony. That's where they went. They went to this upper balcony. So they weren't down here. They were up in the upper balcony. Now, this woman with this spirit of infirmity spent her life bent over. She's bowed over. I mean, she knew most people by their feet sizes. If you know anything about livestock, the weaker livestock get shuffled back. You know, the healthier, stronger ones will be the first ones to the water. They'll be the first ones to the feed. And the weaker ones get shuffled back. It's not going to be any different with people a lot of times. The stronger ones are going to get up to the best seats. And a lot of times the weaker ones are going to get shuffled back. So this woman was way back there in the upper balcony, back there in the nosebleed section. But Jesus healed her. What happened? He said, "You daughter of Abraham, be healed of your infirmity." See, you didn't get to be called a daughter of Abraham unless you were living in faith. What she did is she seen him in his grace. She believed that he would have mercy on her and set her free. When she seen Jesus, when she looked at the grace of Jesus, faith happened in her heart, and she received her healing from Jesus. He seen her in her faith. We're not going to be any different. When we see him in his grace, faith will happen in our hearts. He'll see us in faith, and great things will happen to you. Amen? So let's get to our study here. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. So this, tear these two verses down, and let's look at these things and see what we can find here. If you'll focus sometimes on one or two scriptures and just sit there and study them things for all they're worth, you would be surprised how much revelation you get out of that. How much you'll see, you'll learn of Jesus, and you'll see more of what he did for you, and then you'll see him in his grace. It'll cause faith to happen in your heart. So let's look at this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So what is the gospel of Christ? The gospel of Christ is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel. If it doesn't lead you to the cross, it's not the gospel. The gospel of Christ is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Him getting raised back to life. That's the gospel. Now, let's tear this first part apart here. To get a hold of this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, there's a lot of people that don't like to share their faith. You know, they'd rather be undercover Christians. You know, they just try to stay to themselves. And that's exactly not what the Bible said to do. The Bible gave each one of us a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go be witnesses to Christ in his resurrection. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. I'm going to go back a little bit. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Have you thought about that? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, if God has not given us the spirit of fear, where's that fear coming from? It ain't coming from God. It's coming from the devil. Did you know fear is a spirit? Fear is a spirit, and you can take dominion over that thing and tell it to leave in the name of Jesus. Now, it may persist in staying. It may be belligerent, but you still stand on the word, and you keep confessing the word over that, and you keep telling it to leave, and you keep, this is a good scripture right here. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. That's a good way to fight that. Make that your verse. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be afraid to tell somebody about Jesus. Don't be afraid to tell somebody how he forgave them. How he got on the cross and died for their sins. How God raised him back to life. And that if you ask him to come into your heart, be your Lord, you shall be saved. For all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be ashamed to share the testimony of Jesus. Huh? Well, what if I make a mistake? Well, what if you hit a bullseye and somebody gets born again? You know, I like what my pastor always said. You know, God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. He just needs somebody to pull the trigger. You know, he never told us to be perfect. He told us to be witnesses unto him. You know, one thing I noticed about people is they think they have to have a whole bunch of scriptures memorized when they witness to somebody, and they think they're going to try to get somebody born again. They think they have to have half the Bible memorized. You don't have to have half the Bible memorized. All they have to do is just share from your heart how God saved you. And if He did it for me, He'll do it for you. Amen? Anybody who's born again has this commission. And anybody who's born again can witness to the goodness of God. Amen? Well, I don't have all my affairs in order. Guess what? Nobody else has all their ducks in a row. Amen? But we take what we got, we take the light that we've been given, and we let it shine. Amen? I remember one time my boss asked me, he said, why? And I hadn't been born again all that long. But he said, why are you always so happy? I didn't know nothing. I said, Jesus loves me, man. And he said, oh, okay. It was good enough for me. But I didn't know nothing, but I knew that. Okay, so I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So let's look at this. For it is the power of God. What is he talking about there? Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 17, we'll go there. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now look at Paul. This Paul talking here. Paul knew more about the Bible than any of us put together. But look what he said here. He said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Now if anybody was qualified to use wise words, it would have been Paul. But he said, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know, I hear some theologians and some powerful preachers using some words, some fancy words, and I sit there and I listen to them and I think, you know, some of these guys, I just can't hardly stand to read what they're, it's hard to read what they're saying. And I can't make sense of it. You got to keep it simple for me. But the gospel is simple. Jesus made the gospel simple for us. Amen? Our job is to believe. How do we believe? We become persuaded in our hearts. What God said will come to pass. We believe on Jesus, what He did for us on His cross, in His death, burial, and His resurrection. We believe what His blood did for us, what it's doing for us now, what it will do for us. It goes on here, it says, He didn't want the cross of Christ to be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. That's the power of God. The cross is the power of God. The cross caused everything to change. Everything changed after the cross. One of the hardest things I've noticed when I talk to people, it seems like the more educated they are in the world, it seems like they're just a little bit more difficult to get to look at the cross. There's got to be some way for them to save themselves. There's got to be some way for them to prove the Bible wrong. There's got to be some way that what they learned in school is more right than what that Bible says. They like to think and reason, and sometimes they miss the simplicity of the gospel. Amen. The gospel is simple. Believe in your heart. Amen. Believe in your heart. Okay. Let's look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about that fear, that spirit of fear. And we talked about the power of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, "For we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh." You know, we're in these bodies. You know, we have these vessels. And we live in these bodies. We're in the flesh. But we don't war with our knuckles. It's not saying that if you have to use those, don't be afraid to. But this is more likely the battle is a spiritual battle. That's where we war. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." What would be a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Fear would be a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The devil shoot a fiery dart at your head, at your soul, and you take that in there and get to thinking about that. Fear, well, what if I'm not healed? What if I'm not this? What if I'm not good enough to do this? What if I can't do that? And you start getting that fear rolling around in there. That's a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God on that situation? "For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind." Want a sound mind? Agree with what the Bible says. Meditate on the Bible. That's how you get a sound mind. Meditate on the Word of God. We renew our minds. See, when you get born again, it's your spirit that gets born again. And your soul didn't get born again. Your soul is saved from hell because it is attached to your spirit. But your soul has to be renewed with the Word of God. Amen? See, we need to be brainwashed. We need to get our brains washed because we learn some things that are not right. You know, we go through this life from an early age. We start learning things. Some of the stuff is true and some of the stuff is false. But we start gathering this information. And we gather this information from all over the place. And that becomes our reality, whatever it may be. You know, but we learn by the stuff that we touch. You know, we learn that hot things are hot. We learn that sweet things taste sweet. That's a taste. We learn that skunks smell bad. That's a smell. We learn that flowers look pretty. So we learn with these five natural senses. Amen. But then we get born again and we're to be led by the Spirit of God. That's the world likes to call it the sixth sense. But it's the Holy Spirit. Man, that's how we're to be led. So all of a sudden now, when we start getting in the Bible and we start learning how to be spiritually led, we find a conflict. The truth is the Word of God. And the truth collides with these natural facts that we've learned in our life. See, the scientists may tell us that you got the Mongolian warts on your toes and you only got 5 days left to live. But the Bible says that by His stripes you were healed. There's a collision right there. Amen? See, we have to decide right there. That's where the rubber meets the road. We have to decide, are we going to live by what we've learned, or are we going to live by this new living way. Not everything we learn in school is right. You know, oh, how many teachers have told us that we used to be monkeys, cavemen, you know, and all of a sudden our tails fell off and we became men. And they have these pictures that they show us, you know. And we used to walk over, humped over like that. And the dinosaurs chased us around. And then pretty soon our backs popped and we were straight. That's not right. God created Adam and Eve in the garden. Created them in His own likeness. You're a descendant of Adam and Eve. You never had a hairy tail. Climbed around in a tree. Let's carry on here. I want to get down to this fun stuff. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Another place that I want to go to is chapter 3 of Romans, verse 21. We'll go to verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, and through the forbearance of God. So, how do we get a hold of this? Saved by grace, justified freely. There is no flesh that is justified by the law in the eyes of God. See, that sounds like we're only to just believe, okay, that's to get me to heaven. I'm telling you, it's about absolutely everything. The grace of God. The grace of God and Jesus Christ as your righteousness covers absolutely every area of your life. From healing to finances. Everything. From safety to peace. All of it. It's by the grace of God. Amen? Find scriptures in the Bible where Jesus had paid for whatever it is you need and stand on that. Let's go back over here to our study scriptures. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We just covered that a little bit. The just, when you get born again, you get justified freely by His grace. That means you're the just. You're just. You've been judged. You see, you can't be judged. You can't be justified until you've been judged. See, when Jesus got on that cross, all of your sins, all of them, were laid on Him. You were judged at that moment. And Jesus paid the penalty for those sins by dying on that cross. And then He went into that grave. And when God raised Him back to life, you were justified freely by His grace. What's that mean? So nothing you could have done to get it done except for believe on Him. That's how you got justified. That's how you got born again. You couldn't earn one bit of it. You were washed with his blood. That blood that is more precious than silver and gold is the blood that has redeemed you from hell. Now, if you're thinking that there's something that you're going to earn from God, you need to measure against this. Whatever this thing is that is so precious that you can do, is it as valuable as the blood of Jesus? There's nothing more valuable than the blood of Jesus. So put your deal down and look to the cross and see Jesus in his grace and watch him be God in your life. Watch him move on your behalf. It's really fun. Let's look over here to Galatians chapter 3. This Galatians chapter 3. Verse 6. You know, an interesting thing about the Galatians is Paul really got after these guys. He said, "Who has bewitched you, you foolish Galatians?" He was really getting after them. You know something? People really go to Galatians and they read Galatians and they really spend a lot of time studying it. And they forget about Corinthians. The church at Corinth was wild. These guys were way out there doing some really crazy stuff. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit were operating mightily in that church. Paul went there and he said, hey, stop that. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said, stop that. You're not to be tying yourself. What business does light have to do with darkness? You're not to be yoked. Don't be unequally yoked. What was he doing? He was reminding them of who they were in Christ Jesus, lifting them up, encouraging them to step away from the things they were doing. The Galatians, he come in there and he got after them, but these guys weren't doing the things that the Colossians were doing, or that the Corinthians were doing. The Galatians weren't doing all that stuff. You know, the Corinthians were getting drunk in church. And that was kind of the light stuff. What happened? The Galatians had gotten saved by faith, and then they started picking up the works of the law. See, the church finds itself in these shoes today. You know, we run around and we tell them, you're saved by grace. And you are saved by grace. And then some people will say, okay, now there is these 5 things that you have to do. There's these 10 things that you have to do. You know, you have to do this and you have to do that. I actually had one guy tell me I had to join the Masons. Well, I don't know anything, but I know that ain't true. But look, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6 says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. How did Abraham become righteous? He believed God. How do you become righteous? You believe God. Well, how did I believe God? Well, if somebody said that Jesus died and God raised him back to life, you believe that? You believe that. You believe what the heart man believes unto righteousness. It's with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation, but it's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. You believe that God raised Jesus back to life. Everything else is the same way. You're going to get it in your heart, and then you're going to believe that by his stripes, you were healed. Amen? You're going to find a scripture in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor." So you're going to meditate on that scripture. You're going to get it in your heart, and you're going to believe it under righteousness. Amen? Okay, let's carry on here. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." That's you. "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Every time you read those two verses, read verse 29. If you be Christ, if you're born again, you are Christ. You belong to him. "Then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Well, what did Abraham have? Everything. Melchizedek come down and said, "Blessed are you, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth." That pretty much covers everything, don't it? Abraham lived to be 120 years old. And he was strong. How did he do that? He believed God. He lived over 120 years. He had more kids after Isaac. Did you know that? Ishmael was the accident kid. Isaac was the child of promise. And then he just went on with it. He had more kids. Yeah. I guess when he was 100 years old and sired Isaac, he was just getting warmed up. What did that? The promise is God. He believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. So when you get born again, you're just getting started. You believed God, that God raised Jesus back to life. He counted that to you for righteousness. And now you're just getting started. So what do? You go on to the next thing. Remember, it's from faith to faith. By grace, by grace. Faith to faith. One grace step at a time. One faith step at a time. One step at a time. So you get another light. How do you get that light? You get a revelation. You remember, Jesus said, to take my yoke upon you, learn of me. He said, learn of Jesus. The more you learn of Jesus, you'll learn of his grace. Faith will happen in your heart. He'll take you another step of faith forward by his grace. Amen? You'll get one more light. Your light will get a little brighter. And then what do you do with that light? You share it with the world. Amen? You're the salt of the earth. You may not know it, but you're the salt of the earth. Now, we know we're in grace. We know that we're to live by faith. And when we focus on him and see him in his grace, that faith will happen in our hearts. See, when you see the good things, when you read the good things that Jesus did for you, when you hear the gospel preached and you hear the good things that Jesus did for you, doesn't that build a fire in your belly? What's happening? Faith is happening in your heart. Your spirit's turned on. And faith is happening in there. And then you start taking it, and you get, when you get that burning feeling, go meditate on that word for a while. You know, when you underline one in your Bible, go back and meditate on that thing and get a deeper revelation. Get it in you, get a part of it, and get it. Amen? Don't let the devil come steal that seed. Get it sunk down in there. Get it to root so it'll spring forth fruit in your life. Amen? Now, the one thing we have to watch out for, we'll find it right here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. How are you going to frustrate the grace of God? By trying to earn your righteousness. See, you have to understand something about righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. You're in right standing with God. The minute you call on the name of Jesus and you get born again, you are in right standing with God. You are as righteous as you're ever going to be. And all you did was call on Jesus. Amen? There's nothing you can do to make yourself more righteous. You're in right standing with Him. Amen? So don't frustrate the grace of God. Keep believing on Jesus. Keep looking at His grace. Keep looking to the cross. Now go up here to verse 20. And this is what Paul said. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, when you're focused on Him, when you're focused on Him and His grace, the law will shed off you. The law will be like a red flame to you. You'll avoid that. You'll learn to know the difference between law teaching and gospel teaching. And there is a difference. And some people will say, well, I'm a grace preacher, and they're preaching nothing but the law. If it puts pressure on you to perform, to earn God's favor, if it puts pressure on you to perform, to earn anything from God, if it puts pressure on you and it makes it about your obedience, that is not the gospel. That's the law. But if it points to Jesus and His obedience, Jesus and His walk, Jesus and His faith, Jesus and His grace, then that's the gospel. If it points to the cross, a crossless message is a powerless message. That is the power of the gospel. The cross. You must always, whatever you're believing must lead to the cross. What happens at the cross? That's where Jesus paid for everything. Not just your sins. He paid for your healing. He paid for your provision. He paid for your safety. He paid for your prosperity. He paid for your wisdom. He paid for absolutely everything that you need. He paid for it at the cross. If it doesn't lead to the cross, avoid it. you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus as we look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is there to teach us and guide us and show us how to receive his wisdom and revelation, because that is the Spirit you've given us, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And we thank you that as we focus on your word, we're focused on the cross. And we praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.